Hello, good morning and welcome to the Finance Show here on tiptv.co.uk. It is Friday the 28th of October. I'm joined here to open the show, the Finance Show, by Mark Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM ISI, which is apparently the new way of, new trendy way of saying ADM Investor Services International.
Well, yeah, if you want to shorten it up, yes.
Right. Okay, well, at the end of the week, any big, I suppose the banking sector has been the big news.
Banking sector has definitely been the big news, and the bond drought. We've had a very sharp rise in government bond yields this week, driven primarily yesterday by that higher than expected UK GDP data, which has basically put paid to any ideas that were priced in, not priced in by the market, but certainly priced in by economists, that next week we'll see a further easing by the Bank of England. In fact, I suppose it raises the question whether someone like Ms. Forbes, who's on the more hawkish side, actually votes to stop QE in the UK. But in general, these rising, steepening yield curves are basically good for banking stocks. It's a rather more favourable environment. Also, the combination of the good results from the big US money centre banks combining this week with better results from both Deutsche Bank and from Barclays, with better incomes coming from their trading, fixed income trading in Q3, largely thanks to the Brexit vote volatility. I'm not sure whether that's actually sustainable, but in the longer run, obviously one would say that a steepening yield curve, i.e. rising rates, particularly in the long term, is a positive for the banking sector, even though they obviously have a lot of other regulatory hurdles. And in obviously in the case of the Europeans, other problems like large derivatives books or big non-performing loan books to overcome.
Right, let's look at the what's exciting traders and investors today, most popular in business and finance. RBS, the bank that I've been leading a one-man campaign to close down for the last 8 years, somehow haven't succeeded, but it has reported a £469 million loss, which presumably the taxpayer will pay around £400 million worth. For the third quarter, bank to miss EU deadline for divesting 300 branches as it loses as its losses for the first 9 months of the year hit 2.5 billion. That's from the Guardian. But luckily, as we're not really part of the EU anymore, we don't care about their deadlines, do we?
Well, yes, I suppose that's one aspect of it. On the other hand, I think really it shows what happens if you actually, as they did, sell off all the good parts of the bank. When they were trying to rescue, you know, during the initial
stages. Direct line insurance.
Just keep the bad parts.
Right, okay. UK services drive GDP's post-vote surprise growth, which wasn't really a surprise, I suppose, was it? The UK economy has bucked expectations of substantial slowdown in 3 months after the Brexit vote, thanks to a strong performance from the powerhouse services sector, according to the Belfast Telegraph. Going on to Nicole Elliott, the trader at the Investors Chronicle. Well, predictably, she's taking a few pot shots at the experts. Data published yesterday for the UK third quarter GDP showed the economy growing 4.5% quarterly, taking the annualised rate to 2.5%. This was stronger than most pundits expected. Most pundits who are actually able to get on TV and do their punditry. They only seem to get the people on there that get it wrong. And flies in the face of Project Fear, where the late David Cameron and even... Is he still there, George Osborne? Is he still in Parliament?
He's still in Parliament, yes.
Somewhere hanging around. Said we'd face recession and a 500,000 job loss. The OECD, which is famous for getting figures completely wrong, expected it to shrink by 1.25% over the same 3 months, and the IMF also joined in the fray, where Christine Lagarde said it would be a bad or very, very bad situation for us. So it hasn't panned out that way yet. Although, I mean, even now you've got commentators saying, oh, well, this was actually quite a backward-looking, you know, figure. It was still has the momentum of before the vote.
I think the most important thing to recognise is there was a big boost from tourism. There's no doubt if you look at the breakdown, things like distribution, hotels, doing extraordinarily well thanks to the weaker pound. And the impact of the whole Brexit referendum, remember we haven't even triggered Article 50 yet, was always going to be felt in the much, much longer term. So the really hard impact, if there's going to be one, that depends on how the negotiations go, would be more likely to hit in the second half of next year rather than this year. And the idea that it was going to have an instantaneous impact was always rather foolhardy.
But isn't it sort of swings and roundabouts? The reality is swings and roundabouts. So the weaker pound and more tourism, maybe some people sold their properties and have taken their money out of banks or whatever it is. But overall, it's actually been positive. So
it's been positive. Your two big problems that we have here in the UK is with rising inflation and wages fairly stagnant, you are going to go into negative real wages again. And that's going to be a headwind, particularly when you look at the strength of credit growth. Credit growth is around about 10%. Yeah, but it's swinging between 9.5% and 10.5% at the moment, and that's simply not sustainable in the long run unless we're going to completely run our savings into the ground, or unless we start to see very sharp rises in wages, which probably wouldn't be so good for growth.
There's no point having savings these days. Just absolutely no point. Next, we've got the economic calendar, Eurozone consumers' confidence. Germany Consumer Price Index, US GDP annualized for the third quarter, personal consumption, University of Michigan confidence, which is tends to be the most exciting one of the day, maybe not today because of the GDP number, and then the Baker Hughes oil rig count.
Yes, I mean, I think of those, the CPI data in Europe is definitely trending higher. And in terms of the US GDP, I think the interesting aspect will be that inventories, which have been a drag on growth, for five consecutive quarters are expected to be fairly neutral this time around, and so we'll get a better outturn, probably something of the order of 2.5% seasonally adjusted annualised rate. Not spectacular, but not bad.
Okay. Let's go on to sentiment with our Amanda clients, which has become something which is very close to my heart now. The really long of gold and silver. Gold sort of has been consolidating of late, and the fact that they're so long of it hasn't actually really moved up suggests to me that the rug may be pulled at some point.
Rather worrying in the context of the GFMS gold survey this morning, which basically showed that demand dropped quite sharply in Q3, and there's an actually very large overhang in the market now.
Right, and then the other thing is on sterling, and they've gone up to nearly 65% there. I think the last time they went up to towards over 70% was just when cable went down to 129.50, just went below 130, and everybody thought that that was the place to go long. So one would assume that probably sometime next week we'll have the rug pulled on that particular stuff.
Two key opposing forces. We are starting to see interest rates, medium-term interest rates here in the UK rise quite sharply, which should be a prop for sterling. On the other hand, we've got a lot of people rolling their hedges, people like importers, people who've got incomes, who would be natural sellers of sterling, opposing that move. And that's why I think we probably need to consolidate a bit further, and the risk is still on the downside.
Maybe just one more sub 120 flush out, and that would be that would be it for now. And euro sterling, again, selling all the way up. I think we're back just under 90 pence at the moment, or 89.5 pence, and the punters there have been short of that from the mid-80s, so a slightly painful experience there, I think. Going on to the trade of the day, the Tip TV trade of the day, repeated failure at confluence of Fib levels around 109.30 suggests fresh sell-off towards the 108 handle. Sell around 109.30, objective 108 and stops above 110. Does that look like a weak chart to you, or a weak situation?
It looks quite a weak situation. I mean, you know, it's understandable in the context of people now pricing in more of the higher chance of the Fed hiking in December. So you've got widening interest rate differentials favouring the dollar in the near term. But a lot of it will hang on what happens with the election result in the US. So I really wouldn't be wanting to be overly exposed to the pair at the moment, because it could trade either way.
Okay, let's go on to the broker recommendations, which I picked out. I was interested in Rio on the basis, I think the CEO has recently said that there's going to be an overhang in the iron ore market for the next oversupply in iron ore is expected to last for 7 to 10 years, which is, just seems to be incredible.
Yes, well, it's remarkable, because Rio has been one of the great performers, because everyone's putting on a reflation trade. One of those two is going to actually have an accident with the other.
Right. Okay. Then, speaking of accidents, we've got Credit Suisse going taking a stabbing Tesco, well, on the back and the front, I think. They're going for a £1.30 target, which seems to be rather pessimistic, given the way the shares have never... I don't think they've been down to that level since they collapsed. £2.12 is the current share price. But Credit Suisse have poo-pooed the 34.4% increase in operating profits at Tesco, which was £500 million, or over £500 million, saying that it was not from better trading, so it was the wrong type of profits.
On the other hand, one might make the observation that if we are going to have rising inflation, then the retailers are going to have a bit more pricing power than they have had for quite some time. And that should be good for underlying profits. Obviously, the other side of that is their import costs are rising very sharply.
Right, that's what I was sort of thinking about. I think that's a little bit negative. Then AstraZeneca just had some bad news regarding some cancer drug trials. The buy there at Jefferies looks a little bit optimistic. Shares currently £46, and they are on the back foot. So we'll see how that resolves itself. But that's the end of the open for the finance show. Thank you to Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services. We'll be back after the break.